We are going to begin here next week, Lord willing, a new series entitled The Way of the Master. It's a DVD series. And see if I have a little sheet here. I guess I handed those all out. A way in which a person can share the gospel with other people, and by using the Ten Commandments, and it can be very effective. Almost any method can work if you use it. But we're going to start that next week, and so the people are kind of left wondering when it's going to come on. I think we'll start it at 7. I think it lasts something like a half hour, and then we'll shut it off and we'll go to our prayer time. The thing that's different about this is that there's no archiving it. You can't watch it later. If you're listening to it on a stream, you have to listen at 7 on Wednesday night. If you don't, you can't see it, because that's part of the copyright permissions. They're allowing us to at least stream it, and yet we can't archive it for people to look at it later. So kind of heads up on that one. All right. Okay, so we are on lesson number 13, last go around here. We didn't get too far here last week, but we'll see if we can kind of finish this up so we can move along into our new material here next week, Lord willing here. Okay, so we're looking at 1 John. If you have your Bibles there close by, we're looking at 1 John chapter 5. And just the last 7 or 8 verses there. And just a little bit of a review from where we were at last week, and then see if we can move along here. But he's talking about three things which we can be sure of. And in each one of these lessons, there's a whole lot more things than three that you can be sure of. But out of these 7 verses, this is what he's focusing in on. So, 3 things that we can be sure of. And it's not death and taxes and whatever else you come up with. Because that's not even true, right? I mean, if the rapture comes, we get to skip that one. I don't mind that. And they can have the rest of what I got for taxes, right? So, somebody asked me a while back, who gets what's left? Who cares? You know, you can have my mortgage. Have fun paying on it. Okay. Anyway, so God wants us. He talks. The whole series was to become a contagious Christian, and again, contagious in a good way. Okay. And wouldn't that be something if Christians were contagious, and you just kind of were with people and coughed on them and shook hands with them and they became Christians? I mean, you know, no, it doesn't work that way. But we do have to share something with them. And as we've talked about that before, God wants us to share His Word with them. And He's promised that that won't return void. And so if we're going to be confident, contagious Christians, then 3 things that we can be sure of. And the first one that we touched on there was that of prayer. And James 5:16 talks about that, encouraging us to pray for one another, that you may be healed. He says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, here in 1 John, he also talks about the fact that we can be confident, we can be assured that our prayers are going to be heard, they're going to be answered. He says there in 1 John 5:14, he says, this is the confidence or the assurance that we have in Him, talking about the Lord, and that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, sometimes us guys are teased or whatever. We have selective hearing. You know, we're kind of focused on one thing. You're watching the football game or whatever, and somebody's talking to you, and you grunt once in a while. And they said, well, I told you, and I don't know, you know. We, it may have went in, and it may have also went out. It didn't stick on anything in between. But God's not like that. We can have assurance. We pray, God's going to hear us, okay? And that's as believers. Now, because unbeliever, okay, he is our Heavenly Father. The unbeliever cannot call him. I mean, he may call him Father, but he's not part of the family, okay? Just like, I'll pick on Bob.
We're what?
One? Okay. Now, you got some neighbor kids up the street, and they come up there and say, Mr. Zilke, can I have 20 bucks? Huh? Go ask your dad. I'm not your dad. Go ask somebody else. Ask the one you belong to. Well, whether people realize it or not, I know you don't. It doesn't sound that way when you go to funerals, but you either belong to the Lord or you belong to Satan. There's nothing in between, okay? And if you don't know Christ as Savior, you're taking your marching orders from your headquarters, which is Satan. Now, I know a lot of people will want to hear that, but that's the truth. You know, there's nothing in between. And but as we talk to God as believers, we're talking to our Heavenly Father. He hears us. And it says there in verse 15, and if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see a brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin is not unto death, there is a sin not unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, that one's a bit of a tongue twister there in 16. Basic idea is we can have assurance, we can be sure that God's going to hear, God's going to answer. And we had seen there in James, the fact that we want to have power, we can have powerful and effective prayers. Okay? And a couple of things that need to also fit into all this is that we can't just ask any old thing and expect God to jump on it, okay? It also needs to be according to His will. What's a couple of ways that we can find out what's God's will?
God's word.
Is He ever going to go against that? No. Okay? So don't buy into it when somebody says, I know what the Word of God says, but... Okay, then they're going off some other way, you know, and they're going to try to rationalize where what they want to do, what they want to believe is true, even though God's Word says it's not, okay? He's not going to answer that prayer, all right? And so it needs to be according to God's will. The Holy Spirit can also help us to know what God's will. Circumstances can also be a part of this. He doesn't. What's something that can block our prayers from being answered? Sin. Okay, and I'm repeating myself a little bit. I'm sure from last week, but y'all, and that's not because you're all from the South. You all know what the old home phones used to be like. Things stuck on the wall, sitting on a table, got a cord connected to it. And if that cord was disconnected, it didn't go anywhere. Well, sin is kind of like a pair of scissors that comes along and cuts the cord, all right? Or takes the battery out of your cell phone. It stops the communication. And what we need to, we can't just go on in our sin and expect God to hear and respond and do everything we want Him to do, and we just keep on sinning. No, it doesn't work that way. And so we need to deal with our sin, confess the sin, admit to it. Seek forgiveness for it. Repent. Turn from it. And so that's one of the things that can mess up our prayers. What are three responses that God can give for prayer?
Yes, no, and wait.
Yes, no, and wait. Okay? And, you know, we don't like to wait, and we don't want to hear no, you know, but sometimes, why would God want to say no to our prayer? Just being a big meanie? Is this his turn to be grumpy this week? I'm not answering nobody's prayer this week, you know. What do you think, Gail?
He would withhold it if he knew it wasn't good for his child, just like you would as a father wanting your children.
Well, it's like when your kid comes and asks for candy before supper.
No.
It's not best for you, you know. I got something better in mind. And so you're going to tell. Thing is, God loves us, okay, with an everlasting love. He loves us too much to give us everything. And as we said before, you know, maybe parents that gave their kids everything, that was that good for them? No. And so God knows what's best for us. He can look down the road. He knows what's going to happen next week, next month, next year. And he can protect us from this. And things that we don't even know about. And as I told Tyler, we were talking about houses here a few weeks ago. And I said, you know, God protected us from getting a house. I mean, we were looking for, you know, we rented for a couple of years and thought, okay, about time we'll bite the bullet, buy a house, you know. And we're looking around and we looked at quite a few. It's like I look at houses after a while. And then we found one over on John's Drive. I mean, it's John. I mean, my road. That's got to be the house, okay? We look at the house. Yeah, okay, everything seems to fit. We have the house inspector, and he said that there's something about the house here, though I can't check. He says, it's got a well, you know, we can check that, but it's got a septic, and I have no idea, you know, what that's like, whether it's working or not. Here's a number. Which I had never known the number. Here's the county. You call these guys up. You ask them, is the septic okay in this house? I called them up and they said, oh no, that's a failing septic system. They've applied for a building permit to add on a bathroom and a separate bedroom and stuff for grandma to move in with them. And we said, no, it's basically a holding tank. They have to have a pump every month. And so the option to that was, I called it, no racially thing met here, but an Indian burial mound. You see these big hump of dirt out in the backyard? Well, that's a above ground septic system because the ground is saturated. They got to bring in. And at that time, it's like 8,000. It's probably 20 now. But he protected us from that. And so he said, you know, no, that, you don't want that house. Okay. So you keep looking, we found something else. But yeah, God protects us from things. You know, and I have to remind myself when I'm sitting there, you know, when I'm at the stoplight, the longest light in town, you know, okay, well, God may be protecting me from getting up the road a little bit further, a little bit faster, and you get up there and there's a pile of crunched metal and junk alongside the road, and that could have been us. Okay, so, okay, Lord, you know best, you know, just patience. So God does answer, and we need to believe that God will hear an answer. It's not, oh, well, I guess it can't hurt. I guess I can pray. When all else fails, pray. No, pray first. It saves you an awful lot of time and energy and grief. Rather than wait till you make a mess out of things and have to call on God, Lord help, bail me out of this one, okay? So God will hear an answer. Now, God doesn't work on our timetable. God is not microwave sensitive or whatever else is the thing today. You know, everything's instant. He hears, and he's saying yes, no, or wait. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to hear that instant answer, that it's yes, no, or wait. You may have to wait a while to find out what God's answer is. And again, if it's a wait, it's like, okay, I'm not saying no, but you're going to have to wait a little while. And until the right time comes along, God's time. We tend to always run fast, and God's right on time. Okay? So we can count on it. And so, again, we can look to the Word of God, make sure that we're praying for the right thing. I think we touched on that on Sunday or last week. you know, here's God's will, here's my will. He really wants those two to be the same. He's going to help us to desire his will so that we're going to ask for the right things. We're not going to be asking for stuff that's, you know, way out there somewhere that's not according to his will. And so there might be some things he has to teach and train us along the way so that we start asking for the right stuff. And so the next kid that comes along, he said, Mr. Zilke, I need to earn $20. Is there some work around here I can do that I can earn this? He says, yeah, here's a ladder. Crawl up there and clean out my gutters. I'll stand here and hold the ladder for you. You know, I mean, he's going to help us along the way. Well, so let's keep on going here. And he talks about praying for your brother. Verse 16, if any man see his brother sin, a sin. And I'll tell you this, sin unto death. I've read several different inputs on this, and they don't all agree on this. But let's just think, try to understand. I think if we understand a part of this and put that to use, he's saying if brother sin, he didn't say tell 10 friends. Did you see what I saw? Do you want to know what I saw? Did you want to know what I heard on Facebook or Twitter or whatever else is out there? You know, he said pray for him. Now, is there another passage that you think of that tells us that we ought to pray for one another? Anything come to mind? How about Galatians 6:1? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the meekness of in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So when you see somebody sinning, the idea is to go over and give them a helping hand. Not helping them in their sin, but helping them get out of their sin. And he says, you know, don't just stand there and preach at them. He said, consider thyself. Folks, it might be this guy that's sinning today. It might be us tomorrow. Okay? And so we want to treat him the same way we want somebody else to treat us along the way. He said, in the spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Okay? And the thing is, we all have different weak spots. Okay? Maybe the person that you see got caught into sin, I don't know, I'm just picking out something here, but let's say somebody got their hand in the till, okay? They were embezzling or something. You pray for it, you know, and you can preach that. They probably already know what they did was wrong. What can you do to help restore that person? You know, maybe you're going to end up writing them letters while they're in jail. I don't know what all that's going to entail. But are we trying to help the other guy, or are we going to kick them when they're down? You know, and we say, I would never do that. Okay, maybe you never embezzle. That's good. But maybe you got a sin over here that you're weak on, and they would be strong on. Okay? And so the encouragement here is to pray for one another. And so we think about this sin. Let's look at this here for just a little bit, and we got more here to talk about when we got time. But part of the sin that we're talking about is not a one-time sin. Okay? You said something, you did something, it's a one-time deal. You know, God's not going to strike you dead for that. But what we're talking about here is an ongoing, prolonged sin. That you know it's wrong, God knows it's wrong, he's been working on you, and you've been stiff-arming him, you're not paying any attention to the warnings he's been giving you all the way along. And you keep on sinning anyway. And some of this was going on in the Corinthian church. And we see that what happened, some of the results of that, there in the passage that we read for communion. And again, they were, it was party time for some of them at communion. They were eating their steak and drinking their wine and whooping it up. You know, while the other poor guy over here, you know, he hasn't even got a bit of a piece of burrito to eat, you know. So, I mean, they were having a meal. But they were distorting it. And so that he encourages them there in 1 Corinthians 11:28. He says, "But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that wine. For he that drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning or showing proper respect to the Lord's body." He says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." He's talking to believers here. And he's saying, you keep, you're in a prolonged sin, he says, God might just choose to take you out. He didn't say you're going to lose your salvation. So that's where some people get a little mixed up. But he did say that they're weak and sickly and many sleep. That's what he refers to for believers that die. They're sleeping. Okay? Their body, Chris mentioned that. Just don't get that one confused. That's another topic for another day. Some people talk about soul sleep. That body's in the ground, and it's going to stay there until the rapture. But the soul and the spirit went to be with the Lord. That soul and spirit isn't out there in the cemetery. Okay, they're gone to be with the Lord. And some people have got that kind of mixed up somewhere along the line. But here he says, if you, as a believer, God can take you out physically. And the illustration I've used, I like it, so I keep using the same one. But it's kind of like kid misbehaves, you're at somebody's house, he won't straighten up, and you finally say, okay, Joey, come on, we're going home. And God can do that to us too. We won't straighten up, we're dragging, you know, we're telling everybody we're Christian and we're living like the devil, and he's saying, you're dragging my name through the mud, enough of this, you know, and come on home. And so it can and does happen. And so he's saying, he's talking again to believers here. And so he's not telling them that they're going to lose their salvation, but he does say, that they can sin a sin unto death. And that's physical death that he's talking about here. It's not spiritual death. And I got some verses here. I won't take time to go through some of these. Well, let me just read a couple of them. But it was saying, death, which results from this sin, as far as I can determine from Scripture, is a physical death, not a spiritual death. There's a vast difference between the two. John 5:24, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word.